Chapter 6 Personal Choice A Life Outside of Therapy. Metacognitive awareness consists of two components. The first component is that we are aware that we have some thought processes and can look at what is happening in our heads. The second is that we can evaluate our existing strategies and choose some new or better strategies for ourselves. According to the American psychiatrist William Glasser, we are making choices in our lives all the time. And these choices have an impact on our relations to other people, and thus on our psychological well-being. Sometimes we also make choices that can have consequences for ourselves. We might not prioritize time with our children because we are developing our careers, or we do not see our friends because we would rather be exercising. These choices are going to have an impact on our close relationships. A perhaps more destructive choice could also be to live with the symptoms of psychological distress and do nothing about the anxiety or social phobia, choosing to withdraw or isolate, and stop seeing friends or going to gatherings with other people. If we begin making different choices other than the ones we've made so far in relation to our mental life and mental strategies, we can influence the context in which we live, and thus also our relationships and well-being. We must practice. In order to have a good outcome from a course of therapy, we need to choose that we will also do what it takes to get better. Often clients think that it is the 45 minutes when they are sitting with me that will make a difference in their lives. But it is the moment when a client walks out the door that the work begins. A person can choose to come to my clinical practice and speak with me, but they also have to choose to go home and work on getting better by carrying out the tasks that I give them. That is why my clients always have homework when they leave their sessions. All the homework a client receives is adapted to the individual, because there must be a real chance that the client will carry out the work and do the exercises. A woman with obsessive-compulsive disorder will therefore not be told that her homework is not to wash her hands an entire day, if she tends to wash her hands more than 50 times a day. It will not be possible for her to do the homework. It is about taking small steps, while the intention and desire to try to do the homework and create change is present. I have met a lot of people who believe that motivating thoughts and desire always come before action, and therefore thoughts are necessary for real change to happen in people's lives. But no matter how many fantastic thoughts we have, nothing will happen unless we act. We must therefore choose to act and choose to carry out the metacognitive exercises, because otherwise we cannot create any changes. Knowledge is important, but unused knowledge is trivial knowledge. We can be so clever as to read the most fantastic books and think big thoughts, but we must also go out into the world and use our knowledge. In therapy, this means using our new knowledge about our thought processes and the exercises we receive to make changes in our lives. We must therefore practice. Let us imagine that you would like to lose 5 kilograms. You go out and run 3 times. Then you weigh yourself and find out that you have not lost 5 kilograms. So you conclude that running does not make you lose weight, and you stop. This example shows that it takes time to create results, because you probably will not succeed from the start. You will fall into ruminating and excessive worrying, and you will only be able to get out of it again if you practice. Ambivalence. The intention to create change must be present in the client. Sometimes good intentions are also followed by a feeling of ambivalence. On the one hand, many clients have a desire, for example, to get out of alcohol abuse or let go of compulsive behaviors. But on the other hand, they have the feeling that the substance abuse or rituals also help them, because if they do not have other ways to stop their anxiety or keep their compulsive thoughts away, the substance abuse or rituals have a certain effect, as to ruminating and worrying. That a client has a feeling of ambivalence and two different voices are speaking is not a problem in relation to therapy, because even if there is just a small desire to create change, there is something to work with. Occasionally, I find myself sitting with clients who come because their doctor or spouse has referred them to me, but the client does not want to be helped. Freely adapted from Miller and Rolnick, 2004. And so, as a starting point, I cannot help. So, in these cases, I have an initial motivational interview with the client. Together, we look at the two inner voices. For example, if the client suffers from compulsions, the one voice will say, "Stop washing your hands," and the other will say, "Keep doing so." The voice that wants change must therefore be strengthened and practiced. Together, we make a list of the problems that the client has, and I ask them what their goal is when they walk out of the door after their final therapy session. How do they want to walk out the door? Which life do they want to walk out into? Therapy requires a problem. The willingness to change is often linked to whether the client has a problem that he or she wants to resolve. Because if it is only the spouse who, for example, sees alcohol abuse as a problem, the less chance that the problem will be resolved. My type of therapy involves one or more problems. If the client does not have a problem that I can solve, it is similar to a patient who goes to the doctor and says that she wants help for a leg that is not broken yet. The problem can be very big, and it also can be very small. A client might have had depression and perhaps is worried about ending up in the same place again. There must be a problem present at the time of the referral, just as there also must be a desire to resolve the problem. In other forms of therapy, the therapist will work in another way, asking some other question of a client who may have been referred to the psychologist by her doctor, but who does not feel that she has a problem herself. In such cases, the therapist will take more of what the client says as a starting point and create a relationship between the client and the therapist, even though the client has not expressed the need for psychological help. But in metacognitive therapy, the key question is, what is the problem? Leave the past behind. Viktor Frankl, professor of neurology and psychiatry, created the psychotherapeutic approach of logotherapy. Logotherapy operates with an existential understanding of the word meaning and the understanding that human beings search for meaning in their existence. Frankl himself said of logotherapy, "Logotherapy focuses rather on the future, that is to say, on the meaning to be fulfilled by the patient in his future." Frankl, as translated by Nina Chatelain, page 102. The past must therefore be left to rest in peace. Frankl shared this approach with William Glasser, who was behind the well-known therapy session that you read about in chapter 2. Personal choices also consists of choosing to leave the past behind and creating meaning in existence. Viktor Frankl's own personal history testifies to how he also made a personal choice on how he would live his life. During the Second World War, Frankl, together with his family, were first sent to Theresienstadt concentration camp and later to Auschwitz. If possible, Auschwitz was even worse than Theresienstadt. Here, Frankl was separated from his family and lost contact with them. In the camps, Frankl observed how people who had found meaning in their lives were most likely to survive. Meaning can be anything. Meaning can be the belief that God has given you some trials in life. Meaning can be the desire to see your children again, or thoughts about the art you want to create, or the desire to be able to tell the story about the concentration camp. While most of Frankl's family died in the camps, he himself survived. Many of those who physically survived the concentration camps went through life with psychological scars on their souls, and several ended up committing suicide. For Frankl, it was crucial to develop personal meaning from the suffering to be able to continue through life as a whole person. Also, see Frankl, 1980 and 2000. He took these experiences with him and created a new psychological understanding. For the rest of his life, he continued to explore what personal choice and creating meaning in our lives means for the way in which we live. Even though we can be subjected to some horrific conditions that we cannot change, we can make a choice if we understand that we have a freedom within the walls of our conditions and personal contexts. No change without action. At one time, I had a woman in my practice who wanted to lose weight. She had many different triggers, and each time she had them, she responded with CAS and CAS-related behavior and began to overeat. This happened both when she was alone and when she was together with others. I gave her some homework to do. She had to, among other things, learn to postpone her response to the triggers and learn to control her awareness so that she reduced the excessive inward focus. After a few sessions, she told me that what we were doing in therapy was not working because she had not lost weight. I asked her what specifically was not working. "It's all this talk," she told me. "That's absolutely correct," I answered, "because I can't talk you into becoming thin, and neither can I talk myself into becoming thinner. If I could do so, I would be hospitalized with anorexia by now, because my words are not enough to make things happen." So I asked her whether she had prioritized her homework and done her exercises. "No," she replied, "because that's what you're supposed to help me with, and I don't know if they work either." "Well, they certainly don't work if you don't do them," I said. Real life happens outside of therapy. I usually have 45 minutes with my clients once a week, and the rest of the time is their own. I can make them a plan, come up with some strategies, and give the client some techniques, but I cannot do their work for them, and I cannot create change through my words alone. Change cannot happen without action. This is where personal responsibility comes into the picture. Adaptation. I often hear in therapy sessions that people feel afflicted by life. Their expectations have not been met, and neither their dream about the perfect family or a certain education has come true. Their home is a two-bedroom apartment instead of a large 2,000-square-foot house, and their job is not at all the job it should have been. Many people feel that it is life that has cheated them. Instead of their existence being life, life becomes an idea of how life ought to be. Viktor Frankl said that the problem is that life does not conform to our wishes and dreams. Rather, it is our desires, dreams, and choices that must adapt to life, because there will always be some choices that we cannot make. We have to adapt to some framework and make the best of it. From the moment that we understand what our framework is, be it financial, health, family, we have to make the best choices we can within this framework. And this acceptance is freedom and creativity within the walls. Today in the West, society offers us everything, and we get our motivation from temptations and money. But the strongest drive people have is the desire to find meaning in their lives. And meaning is the only thing that our society does not offer us, according to Frankl. We have a choice from the moment we know that we have a choice. We do not have all the choices, but we do have some choice. Just as we do not have complete freedom, but we have some freedom.